Yeah, my case kind of came about, like I said, around, 13, 14, 15, I started getting involved. I started selling to friends, and then eventually, like 16, 17, I started getting bigger amounts. When I got some money, how I kind of got my first large sum of money, that I used to start making bigger purchases is I had a baseball card collection, from when I was a kid. I was a fanatic about baseball cards. Baseball was like my favorite sport when I was a little kid. So I actually collected, baseball cards from the age of like 5 to like 15. So I had like this massive collection. And I used to go to all like the baseball card conventions, the baseball shows, and trade and buy and speculate, on who was going to be good, like when they came in as rookies. And I made a lot of good bets, and I had a lot of cards of people that, turned out to have real good
Sure.
careers. And so I went and I sold it, and I got like 13,000 for this baseball card collection,
Wow.
And then yeah, and then what I did,
That's a
I
lot of
started, I
cash
used
back then,
that.
Seth. That's a lot of coin, man.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah, so I took that, and that's how, I started buying that brick pot. But that brick pot was pretty cheap, because I was getting that brick pot for probably like 350, 400 a pound, at
Wow.
first. And then, like I say, I would do that whole thing, break it up, make it into the tutti frutti bud, and then I would basically sell it for like, 40, 45 a quarter. So, I was getting like 160, to 170, 170, 180 an ounce. So I was making over $1,000 a pound. I got, I figured out really quick, probably by, the age of like 16, 17, that if, I could travel, go down to Dallas or go down to Florida, like Fort Myers, and I could get this brick pot really cheap, and I could bring it back up to Northern Virginia, and I could sell it for a lot, and also, in the harvest, like in the fall, I would get the stuff from California sent to me through the mail, but it was always limited how much I could get. It would always be real good bud, but I mean, if I could get 5 pounds, I was lucky,
Yeah.
but then I met some people in Kentucky. And what a lot of people don't know is there's two like outlaw weed spots in the United States that are known for weed: Northern California and Southern Kentucky, right? So I got hit to this, and I was like in Northern Virginia, which is like, that's like not even like 7, 8 hours from Kentucky. So I started driving down there in the fall, and I started getting good bud too. They got a lot of clay in the soil, so they would have this bud that, like, the way it would come out with the clay, it'd just be like these really nice, kind of fruity, citrusy type bud. And I started bringing this up, and so I was kind of rolling, and I was doing the LSD thing too. I was getting the LSD sent from California, and
So
I would come up with some mushrooms.
when you were getting it sent, was this in sheets? You were already sort of getting them dropped and dried and all that sort of stuff,
Yeah,
or were you
yeah,
getting
yeah.
the...
I would get the blotter paper. Yeah,
Wow.
I wouldn't get the crystal. I would get the blotter paper. Sometimes I might get the liquid, and if I got the liquid, the liquid, I would just get like a eye drop or something, and we would put it on like a sugar cube.
Yep. Oh, wow.
The stuff I was getting, all the prints were MC Escher. Like MC Escher is like this badass, like kind of futurist, artist that has like all this crazy stuff. And you would get the sheets, it'd be like a regular, almost like an 8 by 11, page,
Yeah.
like a regular writing paper, and it would have 10 sheets, 10 little sheets. So, it'd be like, a thousand hits on one page. On the page, you could see all the artwork. It'd be like they just took the print out of a book,
Yeah.
and it would be on the blotter paper, and then you'd take the individual sheets off with 100 hits, and you could only see part of it. But it'd be cool, because first I was just getting, a couple sheets, then I'd get like a page, but then eventually I got what they would call a book, and a book was
Yeah.
like 10
Ten,
pages.
yeah, 10,000.
So that was like 10,000.
Yep.
Yeah, so this was all like a progression, like over the years. I didn't like jump into this. I just kind of built up, I got better contacts, I got hooked up with different people, because I was always the type of dude too, like, I just had a mind for business. I was always like, whenever you're doing something, whatever type of business, I mean, it could be drugs, it could be whatever, but you want to get your capital up, and then you want to get as close to the source as possible so you can get the cheapest price. So that's what I was always after. And I don't know what it is about me. I was just always lucky, because the people above me, the people, the connections or the source, they were just like always like me, because I was like this young kid and I was coming and they would say like, look at this kid, man. Like he's about his business. He's come with like 10 grand cash, and they would even like clown like some of their friends, like some of the older dudes, because they'd be like some of the older dudes, they'd be like, man, this kid comes with 10 grand cash
Yeah,
and he
what are you
can't
doing?
even
Hit
come
me
with
up for
five.
tick.
Yeah. They're like, you want me to front you stuff. And they're like, this kid, so eventually how my business grew is I went to this really big high school in Northern Virginia called Robinson, and it was like 4,000 kids. And then we had like this sister high school that wasn't even like 5 miles away called Lake Braddock, and they had like 4,000 kids. So, by my sophomore, junior year, that's like the second, third year of high school, I'm like 16, 15, 16, 17. I'm selling basically like retail amounts to anybody. Like, I don't care if somebody wants a hit of acid, or eighth of pot, I would sell it to him. If somebody wanted like five sheets, and a quarter pound of bud, I would sell it to him. Even if, I got had some people that maybe they wanted a pound. So I just sold to everybody. And then, around 88, all these people that I was doing business with, they started going off to colleges. Right? I graduated high school 89. So, like 88, that's like when a lot of the people that I was dealing with, like the kids like a year or two older than me, they started going off to colleges. And when they started going off to colleges, they would call me up and they would be like, yo, man, they'd be like, man, it's dry up here. We can't get any good bud. We can't get any good trips.
So
They'll be like,
this
man,
is
can
all over the East Coast of America.
yeah, all over,
Wow.
So they would just call, because I was in Northern Virginia, but I had friends going to Penn State in Pennsylvania. I had friends going to West Virginia University in West Virginia. I just had like my friends went to all these different colleges. And they would just call me and they'd be like, man, come hang out, come party and bring some drugs, bring some shit up there. They're like, not only for themselves, but they're like, we want some for us, but we could sell some too. We got, there's a lot of people here. They want drugs. I mean, because basically, I mean, anybody that doesn't know it, I mean, I don't know about the universities over there, but I'm sure it's probably the same. But the colleges over here, dude, is just like, dude, you can take like 10 pounds of weed and you can sell it in a weekend.
Well, you see all the
In
movies and all the frat parties and all this sort of stuff and all the carry on over there, and I don't think we have as much fun here in our universities. I think they try, but I think we get a lot of expats from over there that come over here trying to bring that way of doing uni over there and create it here. But I'm not sure it's the same as what you guys had locked down over there. I think that's a different ball game altogether. I mean, it looks like a good time.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, college is known as just like a party time. It's like a time to go, you get your degree, but you go party for 4 years. That's what everybody, because it's kind of like everybody's 18, they move out of their parents' house for the first time, and they just go crazy, and most of the area was I was from, it's mostly like, middle class, upper middle class, and I mean, they got, not like they're rich or anything, but they got money. Their parents are giving them money, and they're paying from the college, and they're paying for their school. Some of them, you might even get some money like scholarships and stuff like that, academic scholarships or whatever. So, yeah, it was crazy, man. So I started going to all these colleges, and then by the time I was 19, I was basically supplying like 15 colleges in 5 states. Because it was, because like if you're into the drug business, it was like too much traffic. So eventually, like I would just pick certain friends I would have. I would be like, okay, boom. I'd be like, boom, this dude is in this fraternity at West Virginia. I'm like, when I come to West Virginia University, I'm running everything through you. So I just kind of, so everybody, even dudes I know, there might be some dudes I knew longer than them, but I would just pick whoever I thought was like the smartest kid that had the most respect. And somebody too that like have a fraternity brothers behind them. So if any bullshit happened or whatever, so they would have somebody that had their back. But yeah, man, I just started going and I got to where I was doing the acid. I was basically doing like like 100 sheets, like 10,000 hits a month. Like every month I was getting like 100 sheets of acid. I was getting like what they call a book, 10 pages, and I was moving like I dropped like. And it's weird too because like the different colleges, like they had a college like Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech is kind of known as like an engineering school. You know, like a lot of smart kids.
Yep.
And Virginia Tech, dude, I can move like 30 sheets of acid a month at Virginia Tech.
30
You know?
sheets, they're 1,000 a sheet.
Yeah.
Far out. Wow.
No, that's like, yeah. So, I mean, that's like basically,
it's huge.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I would move that every month, but that's like all the brainiacs.
That's
what
I mean. Do you think that's what made them all so creative?
I don't know. It was just weird, but it's like those the smarter colleges. With
wasn't
like all
Picasso
the
on acid?
Yeah, they love that shit, man. They loved it.
Bring out that creativity.
Like, yeah, Virginia Tech was like my biggest market for LSD. Wow. Not as big for weed. You know, not as they didn't want as much weed. They wanted the acid. They were all tripping.
With this at such a young age, Seth, I mean, I'm only speaking from what I see on the outside looking in. You must have had some feel of empowerment knowing that you were this guy that was able to create and make this happen and see this value coming back in constantly, you know? Like, I mean, it's almost like, you've created your own sort of underworld network through what you were doing.
Yeah, I mean, for real, I was a little arrogant prick, man. You know, for real. Looking back now, really, I was pretty lucky because, I was pretty blatant, but I'm not saying lucky. I mean, I eventually got busted, so not lucky in that regard.
Man.
But I was pretty lucky, you know, like that somebody didn't come in and rob me, you know, because I didn't carry guns.
Well, that's the thing,
you know,
too. You're
like
a young
that.
Guy making some big coin. Like, you're a target for anybody that really wanted to... You know, you're up there at that age and in that era, that amount of money, man, you're doing well.
Yeah. No, see, you know, I met dudes like later in prison, you know, like I met dudes that used to rob drug dealers and stuff like that. Mm. And they told me straight up, they were like, look, man, no offense, but
we would have took
man,
you.
If I would have known you, I would have got you.
100%.
Yeah. But my whole thing was, right, I knew this and I knew that I didn't carry a gun. So my whole thing was like, I was the type of dude like, let's say I'm coming to your spot. You're my guy at West Virginia University, right? And, you know, they didn't have cell phones back then, so I got like a 1-800 beeper.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's how
yeah.
I do all my communication. You know, I got like the nationwide beeper.
Yeah.
And so let's say I'm going there, so you're beeping me, and then I'm stopping at payphones, and I got like I basically carry like jars of fucking quarters right around with me in my car because I get on the payphones. So I'm getting on the payphones, and I'm calling you up. And you're like, yo, man, you were like, when are you going to be here, man? I got everybody's looking for something, man. You know, and to throw people off, you know, I might tell you, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm down here right now, man. I'm going to be up there in 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But really, I'm 2 hours away.
Away, yep.
Because yeah. I know the money's there. I know the money. As soon as I get there, I know the money's going to come to me. So I don't got to plan nothing. But that's what I would kind of, that was kind of like my protection. You know, I would not let dudes know where I was. You
yeah.
know, nobody knew where I was. I would just show up like randomly, you know, and I would use a lot of misdirection and I would lie to people on purpose.